okay, I feel very passionately, and as I'm sure all of you, that learning with students on campus or learning with women, I work, by the way, in community and with college students. And I do these things, I do with both those demographics. Learning with students is one of the most powerful tools. So the Torah is the most powerful curative tool we have. Like talking about all the other tools that we have, Torah is the most powerful. It sells itself. It's beautiful. It's incredible. I don't have to sell it to you, right? But we forget that. We think that we have to get them with other things, more attractive things. There's nothing more attractive than the Torah. So we all learn with students. So we kind of compiled all our favorite things that we like to learn with students. It's high-level things, a lot of them. And I just want to share with you why we do this. Our students that we learn with, the majority of them, are very intellectual. Do you know what I'm saying? We're not going after that student that's drunk every night in the bar. I mean, a lot of our students are anyhow, because that's just the demographic. But that's not, right? We're going after the high-caliber students. They're bombarded with a lot of intellectual information. They're throughout the day, and the world is full of incredible, amazing information. And then the Torah sometimes gets, and this is like a pet peeve of mine, dumbed down. You know, like, let's sell the fluff. And especially to women, it's like, oh, you know, they get inspired by, you know, whatever. And it's so chaval, it's so sad. Again, our Torah is our strongest tool that we have, and we don't use it. We share with them, like, fluffy ideas. Sometimes people don't, like, I've been to Torah classes, where the word Torah and God were not mentioned. Because, oh my gosh, don't use those words, because you might scare them away. You know what I'm saying? So we, Les and I talk about this a lot. We try to use high-level material to respect their intellect. You know, I respect them enough to think that they are going to enjoy this, that they're going to appreciate this, that they that they see that the wisdom and the brilliance and the beauty of it. So, Esther.
Okay, yes. So once you start to respect that and to really approach it from that perspective, I think there's a very big advantage to doing some listening from the student on what they're passionate about. So when I sit down with a student, and I usually end up with more of level two, I want to find out, what are they majoring in, what's their career, what are you passionate about? I don't ask those specific questions directly, but I'm gathering information. And often their career is what they're passionate about. They're going for medicine. They're going for social work because they really believe in the community. They are very passionate about the environment. Always, and I should quote B'Shem Omro, Bracha Zaret taught me this one a long time ago, first meeting always is Dvar Torah, because like Batsheva said, that is, I'm not selling myself, I'm not that exciting. Torah is a lot more exciting. So I sit down with them, as they're speaking, my mind is going, what Dvar Torah can I tell them? What Dvar Torah can I, what's going to grab them? What can I tell them I want to learn with them? So what we've done together is we put together a Google document, and we're gonna pass out this sheet, and we'd like everyone to do it. But the idea is that if you can think of by topics, you have at the tip of your fingers. I bring a bag into Barnes & Noble where I sit and learn for like 5 hours
Starbucks.
At a time. I get to know the manager, by the way.
The manager came over to ask me if this was my office, Starbucks.
I told him it's my office.
Do you want me to pay rent?
But anyhow, I bring my books. I have always a few books with me because I never know when I'm going to need to pull out. I always have Pirkei Avos, Rav Hirsch, Chorev, which I'll talk about in a second, and I always have a Chumash, usually try to have a Chumash, and a Siddur. Right? So that I'm, as they're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to show you a Pergamos. That's exactly what you're saying. You may not really mean it. Open it up. I know the page was done like so many times, and start going. So this is basically by topic. We'll pass it out, and I'll...
And we want to add, we're going to give sheets out in the end for all of you to add over here. Like, write the topic, write your, your source, and write your notes, and we're going to add it to the Google Docs and email it to everyone. So that we're going to ask them for their list. We're going to email it to everyone. It's a great resource to have. Why reinvent the wheel if it's existing already?
If I didn't make enough copies, I'm sorry.
We're going to email it. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, we can email it.
Yeah.
So basically, or share maybe, if it doesn't get to the back.
Share it on Google.
Right. I would prefer to just compile it and send it out.
Because then people might keep on adding things that, like, depends on who you are on campus and, you know.
We'll email it as like a document. But either way, if you look, it's like alphabetized. This is really like a short, a list of topics. But the idea is like the conversation will go something like, I'm going to veterinarian school, or I'm very, I'm really very interested in environmentalism. I'm very
right, exactly.
I'm green, or it doesn't have to be that, or I'm green.
You've got that.
Or like they come in, that one out.
Or they come in with their, you missed, yeah. I quoted you. They come in with their silver, they're coming with their silver water bottle, you know, so you know that they're environmentally, right? So you say, you know, I want to tell you something. You think environmentalism is from the Torah. I have to show you. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. It is unbelievable. And then you go through, if you look at, so I said here, for example, you look at the Sefer Chinuch, you look at Rav Hirsch, you just, and all of a sudden it clicks. Now you don't have to keep learning them with, learning that with them. You can move on, but it grabs them. They're like, that is so cool. I had no idea that was in the Torah. But again, you're basing it off where they're coming from, what they want to know. So now, so that's my spiel. And now, Batsheva's going to say something about what she learned, and I'm going to say something
about
it.
So just so, oh, wait, there's one more. Wait, just so you know, if you have any questions, a lot of these things, obviously, like, you'll be like, what? You could call, you know, call us at any point. Well, I'll be glad to share with you more information about what is set up here. Right. If you don't, if you don't know exactly, like, we compiled it very quickly, like Thursday night. So a lot of it, like, doesn't have necessarily the exact. So we tried to source as much as we can exactly. But if there's something over here you don't know where it is, call us. We'd be glad to share. Or you have no idea what it means over there. We'll be glad to share that. That's A. And then B, we're gonna just pick like two things that we're gonna. Okay, so I love the Kliyakar, personally. I mean, I love all the impression, but I love the Kliyakar. He has some really, really beautiful pieces. So I picked for you, I picked for over here the, some of the pieces that I love very much. So if you look a second, where is it? You switch it around. I see you switch it around. Sorry. And just by the way, before she finds the sheet, I love the Ali Shor, I love Sichas Musar, and I love the Michtam Eliyahu. I do not like the translation of the Michtam Eliyahu. It's not very, I mean, in my opinion, it's not a very good representation of the Hebrew sources. Sometimes you'll read it in English, and you'll be like, what is he saying? And then you read it in the Hebrew, you're like, oh, that's what he was saying, okay? So just so you know for yourself.
Batshava's really into learning in Hebrew with everyone.
I sometimes learn.
I want to tell you.
We might as well say something.
Okay. I won't do this with every student. I'm just telling you, like, you have to feel like you're a student. I'm not going to force it. But a lot of students, first of all, love that. A lot of them know the Hebrew letters. They went to Hebrew school. That's the only thing they learned over there. You know, and a lot of negative things about Judaism and the letter, the Hebrew alphabet. So first of all, they know the Hebrew alphabet, and you could use that. That's A. B, I will use English a lot of times, or I'll translate with them. I want them to see, this is a really important thing to me. We a lot of times tell them premises about Torah and Judaism. And they could think we made it up. I mean, if I was a student, I'd be like, oh, that's a lovely idea. You could have made that up, right? To see where the source is, for them to see sources is incredibly, incredibly empowering. I don't need them to break their teeth over the Kliyakar. I'll like just read it, like the line from it. Like I have it highlighted in these Kliyakars. I have it highlighted in my Chumash. I'll read to them that line and a half, and then I'll translate it for them. And they're like, whoa, this rabbi that lived so many years ago wrote this. It's like, it blows their mind. So just for the Hebrew piece.
Okay, two things. With the Sichos Musar, I got very into from Batsheva. And what I started doing actually is, Sichos Musar is beautiful because he quotes a lot of Agadat HaGemara. So the girls who really are enamored with Gemara, they heard about Talmud Gemara, you could show them the Gemaras in the Sichos Musar. Often I'll translate it. What I started doing with the class that I stole from Batsheva, the all women's class, which you can talk to me, I replicated, it was amazing. I took Sichos Musar, I went to the Gemara's, I copied the Gemara section, and I literally put Sichos Musar in like almost like a journal essay, like as if every time he quotes something, I just quote the original source, I copy it, photocopy it, put it on a sheet, and they're looking at the actual Gemara that the Sichos Musar is quoting, and I'm explaining the Sichos Musar outside. So that's one thing. But for the English readers, I feel sometimes when you're always translating, they feel very uncomfortable because they're very smart girls. And they feel like I feel like I'm lower than you, right? So I have a lot to say about Rav Hirsch. If anyone does not have a chol reb, please go get one. H-O-R-E-B. He is amazing. He is so, I want to tell you, his background is he wrote at the advent of the Reform movement. He wrote to our students. That's who he wrote for. You're not trying to like, right? So he goes through every single mitzvah in the Torah, every single mitzvah, and I wrote, you'll see scattered throughout are the mitzvahs that are really like excellent, and you go through it and you can read it. It's sometimes you should prepare before because the language is a little bit more complex, but Rav Hirsch on Perkei Avos and Rav Hirsch on the mitzvahs are really fantastic, and as the students are reading it, you're not saying it, he's saying it. And then you can discuss as he's saying it.
You learn in English or
Harid is in English.
He wrote it in German.
Do you do this one-on-one, or is this in a classroom?
I usually do Harid one-on-one.
I get into Harid because of Esther, and it's incredible. I just use it for Dara Flaga, you know, for...
Do you do that one also?
It's incredible. For social justice, Dara Flaga, Harid, it's over here somewhere. It's an amazing one.
So that's that. Please. Any questions? I saw some hands raised. We're moving this along fast.
I was just going to mention about the Hebrew, depending on how sort of intellectually motivated your students are, our students happen to be pretty intellectually motivated. Like, what I try to, any student who's at all interested in learning, what I try to first suggest to them is to learn how to learn in the original Hebrew. So mm-hmm. What I first do with them before we get into other things, we will talk about different things all along, but the focus initially is to teach them how to read Hebrew if they don't already know.
For sure.
And I'll sit down with them, and many students have taught Aleph Beis, but a lot of them already sort of know it or don't remember it so well, but they learn pretty quickly, and, you know, we learn how to read Hebrew, and then we say, okay, now we're going to learn we're going to learn in the original Hebrew, and I teach them I'll teach them first how to read Hebrew, but then they learn
it's
actual...
It's the wrap-up warning.
I don't work at an intellectual college, and my students are mostly not super intellectual, but, and then don't feel like, oh my gosh, all these sources, I don't know what they are. Like, you have a lot of knowledge from Beis Yaakov. Like, I was just talking to a girl, and she was like, oh my gosh, how do you know all this stuff? Like, she was so impressed just from, like, you could find everything you've learned, like, it's in the Chumash. Like, I bring a Chumash sometimes, I'll just open it up, and, like, all the stuff you've learned from high school and seminary is very, very, like, new to them also. So you don't even have to, like, always go
the sheets that are going around.
You could just start with, like, what you know, and they're really impressed by that also.
The sheets that are going around, what we're trying to do is collect from everybody, because we just put down
our
thing.
We're
going to
add it.
But try to put a topic, because the idea is that once you understand the topic,
look at your topic, so, like, you can add a topic, but just make sure that we have a topic that we could put it by, that, you know, people could look it up and be like, I want about, wait,
do
you can whip it up.
So pass it out.
Whatever you want.
It's not just for you. It's for everybody. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Why does it say name?
Yeah, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. Sorry about that. Put your name also by the source.
And if you have any questions, look at the source. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to. Yeah.
What would you advise to rabbits since we're totally intimidated at the idea of preparing in Hebrew sources? Would you like?
I was gonna say, do you want to give a class of the Alishar on the phone test?
What's that?
What do you mean by intimidated?
What do you mean intimidated?
Some people are not
confident
enough with their Hebrew.
Okay, everyone. You know, there's a ton of books out there, you know, in English and a lot translated. I do think that learning in the Hebrew, I would encourage them also, you know, because I do think that a lot, no offense to Art Scroll, I cannot tell you how many times I'm learning with a student and they read to me the translation and I feel like my heart sinks because, like, it's, like, so against what all the Mefarshim are saying. I'm like, did you just write that? So, and again, they're doing the best that they can. Hebrew cannot be translated. No,
well,
Hebrew cannot be translated.
Well,
it can't.
But wait one second. Rashi, if you're going to do in English, I'll tell you a chumash that I like using is Rav Malk. Has a book. It's a little bit out of print, but it's excellent. He anthologizes a lot of. He actually takes Rav Hirsch also. And Rav Hirsch on the chumash is also very good. You have to pick and choose.
I can write down all the English sources.
But you should know. Well, in general,
which he didn't create
that. Esther, if we
we could argue about the particular psukim. There's no ability to translate the Torah. That's why we fast on. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, it's not. You know, yeah.
Right. But I want to just balance Bacheva here, who's my passionate Israeli.
I do teach in English also. I learn with girls.
I'm balancing you.
No, I'm not Israeli, and I
100%
agree with you.
Wait, but yeah, really, the truth is that you're trying to convey to students that there's a lot out there. There's so much depth. Whatever, and this is another thing that I wanted to put in. I really, when tutors come to me, they say, "What should I teach? Tell me what I should teach." Really, and this is a lot of what you said, Tamar, is that teach something that you're inspired about. If you're inspired about it, it's going to come across, for sure. As we can see, Bachev is very inspired.
I was just telling Tamar last night, a student of mine asked to learn, guess what? Melachim Aleph.
What?
I fall asleep every week when I learn with her Melachim Aleph. Every week. It's like so painful, I cannot tell you. I'm like, I begged her to switch it.
How did you ever hear about it?
I have no idea. She's very intellectual. Georgia Tech, she's like an engineer of like a crazy sort. You know what I'm saying? She's like, she's been designing airplanes. You know what I'm saying? She heard something about Melachim Aleph that she really wanted to learn. And I'm telling you, like, it's just, I'm not saying that Melachim Aleph is beautiful, but I am not passionate about it, and it definitely comes through. Apparently, it's not turning her off, unfortunately, and she doesn't want to switch.
A girl just came to me also. She said, "I'm so interested in Hebrew words." So just happened 2 weeks ago. Every week I gave her a list of Hebrew words that are sort of like modeh, like that have roots that are interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't give her the answers. I say next week you try to figure out the answers, and she either texts me. She's so excited about it because she's a pharmacy student. She's very bright and she likes to figure things out. She emails me. But that's Alana, cool. What you were asking about preparing, I do want to say. That I, last year, I'm sort of working on this for myself, because I've been doing this for a number of years. You could kind of get into the rut of not preparing, of just bringing your svarim and pulling them out, you know, by heart. This year, or last year, I'm saying this publicly, that I really felt like certain energy wasn't coming across. So if you're intimidated by Hebrew, there's no problem, but preparing in advance and knowing in advance what each student wants, what we discussed last week. If I could give homework for the student, that's another thing I started doing. I give homework. This week, I want you to write down how many things you do that are giving and how many things you do that are taking. Write me a list and come back next week. Like things like that. But like before I go 5 minutes, I look at my list of all the students I'm going to learn with, and I make sure I have all the right svarim. I put in my bag, whether I look at it or not, but just a sense that it's new to me and I'm inspired by it and I can give that over. Some students I learned Rabbi Tatz with, World Mask. You'll see it on there. The World of Obligation is beautiful. Right. Like there's some essays that are excellent.
Letters to Buddhist Jews has some great pieces over there also in English.
Right.
I just want to piggyback on what Esther was saying just very quickly. The students are giving you a time in their day. And the women that you're learning with are giving time in their day. That's very precious time. They're busy people. Their time is valuable. You have to respect it. You have to respect their time. You have to come prepared. For every student that you're learning with, you should be preparing at least half that amount of time. And I know it's like a very high ideal, but you have to value their time. You have to give it chashivas. If not, they're not going to value it.
As we just add to the sources, all Rabbi Schieffer's works, like especially his newer book, Stop Surviving, Start Living. I just had someone Friday night by me who was so anti, and that was his turnaround. And it's so simple. It's like simplified introductions to Mesillas Yesharim. It's in English. We give it out at Maimonides graduation. You can order directly. This is not like a business.
There's a lot of things.
They're very, just like they pull the shmooze off the shelf when they're there. It's little pieces that are muster packed that they're just, it's not information only. It's very.
I have to say also Rabbi Becker's book, Gateway to Judaism.
Yes, that's a very good beginner.
Great beginner. Gateway to Judaism, Rabbi Becker from Gateway.
Rabbitson Young Grace's book, The Committed Life, for some bizarre reason, like a lot of women found it by themselves without, like before they start learning. And it's a very good basis for them, like for a lot of, I guess not bizarre reason.
It's one of the New York Times bestsellers.
So let me talk for a second about Nerla Ellis, because I do use their Marashah curriculum sometimes.
Don't you need a code to get into it?
Go Nerla Ellis. Just do a search on Nerla Ellis. I'll tell you, some of their sources are great. Maybe I'm not allowed to say this at a conference with other people here, but let me just tell you, you have to be very careful, because there are some sources. Number one, I personally, I'm not, like, if you're teaching Shabbos to an intellectual person, you want to teach them the sources to bring in much more contemporary authors together mixed with the Gemara, I find a little confusing. And I find that I focus, like, either you're doing one or the other, meaning they'll mix Alei Shor with the Rashi and the way we talk about Melechus Machsheves, which is, obviously, you build on each other as a shir, But it's I find it's important for the students to know what era we're talking about. We're talking about Rishonim, we're talking about Gemara, we're talking about Chronim, and that this is like a nice idea. It's developing the idea of Rashi. So that's something to be careful with Morasha, is that it's sort of like all together, you have to pick and choose. Number two is there are some things in there that are not Kira friendly, like about non-Jews or about that make you cringe when you hear your students reading it and you realize you did not cut it out of the page.
The Kli Yakar is like that also, by the way, just for the record. Right.
Be careful. You know, I'm usually have to be on my game if I know that the next line is something I don't want them to read and this line is something I'm like, that was fantastic.
Let's go here.
Like, really, because you don't want them reading the next
sentence.
Don't
take it home.
So just with the Marsha curriculum, you should know, though, that you can go online, that you can transfer it to a Word document. You can cut and paste everything that you want. They have a lot of beautiful things and a lot of sources that are difficult to get that you wouldn't necessarily have in your house. Well, so it's great.
I took a lot of the, I have like, we did Advanced Maimonides mitzvos, and I made source sheets like also like similar to, for every, for like a lot of mitzvos. So I could like, I was going to
send that. Them,
yeah. It's very good for topics for one of
them. So maybe we could attach it to the email that we're going to send out with that.
Yeah.
That would be
good idea.
Is the paper going around, by the way? Are people really putting
it?
Well, email
your best thing that you learn with students, your favorite things that you learn with students, topic, the thing, like the source of the thing, and
put your name by it so we can
so we can
write.
But you want each of us to fill each
one? No,
just pass them around. Yeah.
I just wondering what you thought about this. So I think it's a very interesting idea. It makes a lot of sense if you're trying to like target what you learn with students based on what they're interested in to figure that out and match it up. And you have all these different great things that you can learn and use depending on what they're interested in. But I really, like, I find a lot of times in students, they're interested in learning, but they're not really sure what they're interested in, and they have, like, a lot of different
things. No, you don't ask them what they want to learn.
No, you never ask
them. But a lot of students are really interested in learning.
Yes.
Women.
No,
so
go right ahead.
So most of what I do,
just
almost
all
the students,
I write down
the
sessions entirely. Women's issues is beginning in this room.